up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from the internet over on Crowdcast, or maybe you're listening to the audio podcast later. Either way, we did have a little bit of trouble with the old YouTube. So maybe if you're watching it on YouTube this week.
It's YouTube. YouTube's got a problem. It's YouTube's problem.
It's Google's problem.
Google's been a little bit up to trouble this past couple days. So
yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, it's a little bit of a bummer too, because one of the things that I was going to say at the top of the show, I was going to thank YouTube because since last week and this week, we actually passed 7,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel, which is pretty awesome.
Wow.
So sorry we couldn't come and tell you that live if you're over on YouTube, but thank you everybody who has followed us over there. You are all awesome. The other thing we should probably mention, I completely forgot about this. I don't know if you guys completely forgot about this. Kevin alerted us about this in the Patreon Slack. December 5th was actually our 14-year anniversary of this show.
14?
14.
I thought it was like 85 at this point.
It feels that way.
Okay.
You're aging at a different rate than the rest of us, like a dog ages faster.
Yeah, our first show was December 5th, 2006. I went back and double-checked that just to make sure. We ran three shows that month, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
We're like, well, we'll try this out. We'll see what happens. There's a Tuesday free. And then never look back.
No, and we never will.
Yes. Very exciting. How did you celebrate the anniversary? What did you guys do on December 5th?
Well, as always, I took out my picture of Alex and my picture of Pete. Mm-hmm, I kissed each of them lightly on the lips and put them back in their lockbox in my basement.
In a lockbox? Bob Dole, right?
Hey, cool. Cool.
Outdoor, right. Okay, there we go. I don't know. I'll just say a bunch of stuff. Listen, we've been doing the show for so long, I can just reference anything, and it's in continuity, essentially.
I can't believe we've been doing this
14 so years.
Really, only for only almost a decade and a half. That's it.
I feel like last year we said 15 or something.
Yeah, we got it wrong.
We do say the number is different a couple times every show, but I gotta say, we started a podcast before podcasts existed, so I think we've been doing it a pretty long
time. It's all good. A couple of questions here in the comments, actually, about is that first show recorded anywhere? Do we have any clips? No, we don't, because the first couple of shows, we came up with the idea for the show and then just wanted to try it out in a theater, see how it worked, and kind of got rolling from there, so we weren't really planning on doing it every single week for 14 years, pretty much. That's just kind of how it happened.
I knew.
Oh, wow.
I knew.
It wasn't until about 5 or 6 years in that we started doing it as a podcast for Nerdist. That's kind of when we kicked things off with that. The first couple of years of shows are, unless there's video online, which there is some video online, it doesn't exist anywhere. Yeah, that's a whole other story.
Someday in our living memoir, we'll tell the story of the, I want to say, 10-camera live switch experience we had.
Hey, man, we got a couch out of that, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Speaking of couches. Couches, you know who usually sits on couches is guests, and we have two amazing guests for you guys today. Two of our favorite people here. I'm going to try to invite them both in at the same time. They're the creators of the new graphic novel Arkhamaniacs from DC that's come out. Art Baltazar and Franco, you might know them better also as the creator of Tiny Titans, Itty Bitty Hellboy, was that what it was, I think? And a couple of other things. They're great. Pete loves talking to them. I'm very excited to chat with them as well. Here's one of them. Hello.
Hey
guys, how are you?
What's up, and man? We got Franco. How are you guys?
Hey, we made it.
Yeah. You did it. You made it into the stream
for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
It always is.
Thank you for your patience. Very excited to chat with you guys about this book. It is awesome and fun as usual. For those who don't know what it is, it's basically your regular adorable take, but all of the Gotham villains are living in an apartment building together, interacting with itty bitty Bruce Wayne. Where did this start? You've obviously done a lot of work with DC, but where did the initial germ of the idea for Arkhamaniacs come from?
Oh man, we were talking about this way back in 2008, 2009 when we were working on Tiny Titans. So I forgot how it started, but I think it was just the name. The name happened, and then we were talking about Killer Croc, adding Killer Croc to the Tiny Titans. So it all kind of started from that. Like, we had a pitch way back then, because at the time, Tiny Titans just hit the New York Times bestseller. And so our editor at DC said, come up with more ideas. What else do you have make another pitch, make like a spinoff or something. So
yeah, hurry up. Hurry up and do that.
We need more money.
Make them smaller. Get them smaller.
So like what was happening, we had ideas for Archimaniacs and Super Pets and the Addams Family and all, like the Adam with his family, the Addams Family. And but we ended up putting all our ideas into Tiny Titans, and so that's where it comes from. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, we asked them if we can have all the homicidal maniacs to play with.
Yeah.
That's always good for kids, I think. Yeah. Do you find...
We thought it would make a perfect kid's book.
Going from Tiny Titans to this book, though, just because you are so familiar with the characters, I mean, I think it's a different take by necessity because they're in a different setting, because they're interacting in a different way. But what is it like for you hitting these very familiar characters in different ways, coming at them from different directions?
I don't know, man. It feels real natural for me, for us both. This is what Bruce Wayne would do if he was 8 years old, 6, 7, 8 years old. But the characters are
I think we have an innate ability to take, you know, grown characters and just be as silly as we can with them. You know, it must be our 5-year-old sensibilities and our sense of humor.
Yeah, you know? It feels easy to do. We did that with Itty Bitty Hellboy, too, and that was real easy to do, just take... Especially when the guys are large and angry, it's real cool and real fun to make them silly.
I have a question about how you guys sort of do, because the book is, you know, pretty long. Do you come up with sort of the overarching way through all the different, the narrative, quote unquote, or do you come up with like, oh, I want to do a bit where Scarecrow is upset in his bedroom?
We come up with
one long stream of consciousness type thing, and then we pick out the bits that make us laugh, and that'll go in the book.
We come up with gags, and weird scenes and stuff, and forever, like the opening scene with Joker walking with rainbows behind him, that's what got the whole book started, and that's actually the first scene that we were thinking of when we wrote this thing. But most of it is just, wouldn't it be cool if Killer Croc was in the pool with his alligator? Yeah, that would be fun. Or if Catwoman had a cat that was missing in a tree or whatever. We just come up with a bunch of weird stuff.
I've said this before, but what I really love is just not only how funny it is, and it's, you know, made for kids, but it's really hilarious for grown-ups as well. It's weird to consider myself a grown-up, but I really enjoy all the bits. Like the hush bit is great. There's just stuff in there for adults, and kids love it too. It's one of those like kids books that everybody can really love, and it, your guys' sense of humor really comes through, and it just makes things so much fun.
Oh yeah, man.
Oh, thank you.
That's cool. Yeah, we love it too, man. We had a good time with the Joker and the Penguin's cool. We had so many stories that we couldn't fit into this one book. The book's only 120 pages. We had enough for like 400 page. We had a 400 page omnibus. Wow. But we had a self-edit and whittle it down to 100 pages. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about your take on the Joker in particular, because it feels so unique and it's so much fun. His face is, I think, 50% smile, and he's just so happy. where did that start? Was he like 50% that and moved it up?
We based it on the Joaquin Phoenix movie. Mm-hmm. So that was
Yeah. And you know what? Like for years, we draw these crayon sketches at our booth at the conventions.
Yeah.
And I got into the habit, like whenever people wanted the Joker, I would draw him, his head as a balloon with the string hanging, and it was not connected to his body. So I always made his head into like floating above his body. So he was going to look like that in his book, but I thought it looked weird. His head wasn't connected. So that's really where it starts. He has a balloon head. And that's like, it's silly. Like the smile and the little crazy eyes are the soul of the Joker.
Another design that I really love, you mentioned this as well, is the Penguin. There's something that's just so funny about how solid and squat he is in the book. Like, he's just kind of there in the background most of the time. Again, where did this take come from? Where did that start?
I don't know. We talked about, like, wouldn't it be cool if Penguin didn't wear shoes and he just likes to slap his feet on the ground when they're all wet, because he likes the way it sounds like a penguin walking. And that's where it comes from, because Tim Burton made it where he has those flippers, the crazy flippers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we went with it.
It's just so funny. Like, so many of these villains are in the rest of their appearances are meant to be like, let's make him darker. Let's make her like in this other way. And you guys just go the other direction and it still works. It still works like so well. It's like not, truly amazing to read this book and be like, oh, these are the same characters.
It's still pretty dark. I mean, you take Scarecrow's arc in this book, and he's like, he's totally decimated. He's not even Jonathan Crane. We just call him Steve. That's how messed up he gets.
He's not worthy of the name Jonathan Crane. No. So just call him Steve. And Ivy's dark too. She hates everybody. She hates little Bruce Wayne. She's the darkest character. Yeah, she's pretty evil.
What about the title of the book? Obviously, Animaniacs is a WB property, so probably there's a little bit of leeway there. But was there any pushback on calling it Arkham Maniacs at any point?
There might have been. Maybe. There was never pushback. We were just always waiting.
I'm gonna say that we had the name before the reboot, but after the original, so we claim it for ourselves.
Yeah, and it was just something that we just kept saying and playing with, and we were gonna call original pitch back in 89. Was it 80 or 90? No, 2009. It was Joker's Funhouse. We're like, that's generic. That's just like what probably comic book stories call their story. Like, no, that's not strong enough. So it just came up at Archimaniacs. What could we do with the M? Yeah. That was at the Maniacs.
At this point, you're kind of known as like the little superhero guys, right? Like,
we're real tall too.
Yeah, we're very tall. You're huge.
6'3", 6'4".
Also, you do that in comics. So you obviously, like, you're known for Tiny Titans, you're known for Itty Bitty Hellboy, all of these smaller versions of characters. Are there any two questions at the same time, I guess, but are there any that you haven't done yet that you do want to do? And at the same time, is there ever a point that you're like, I want to move out of this, I want to do like gritty, adult, hardcore comic books?
I always thought these were gritty. I don't know. I think this is very natural for me. I don't see myself going away from the cartoony. But I would love to work on Superman again. I have a lot more Superman stories within me. It's in my soul. It's thinking of Superman all the time, you know? And Superman and Star Wars. And the Hulk. I like the Hulk, too. Yeah. But Superman, I got tons of stories. I know I got good stories for good movies too.
Yeah, I want to do Sandman and House of Mysteries and Swamp Thing. Wow. Everything dark I want to do.
Franco's a tortured soul. He needs to release it. Yeah.
You could definitely do some sort of Little Dreaming or something like that, right?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd be asleep the whole comic, 24 pages.
I could do a death comic. That little girl Death and his,
that'd be fun too.
She had a dragon too, maybe.
Now we kind of bumped it a little bit over on YouTube today, but we do have a question there in the comments anyway. Anthony Latch says, for you guys, any ghost stories coming up tonight?
Ooh, I know.
maybe we'll get to them another podcast. We do that on our podcast. We always pose the question and tell people that we're gonna do ghost stories, but we always run out of time because we have so much other things to talk about. So
yeah,
maybe we'll tell a ghost story. Yeah.
So he's a listener for our podcast. Mm.
Just any ghost story or a personal ghost story?
We have personal ones. Yeah, I have lots of, I have many personal ones. Yeah. Okay. Visions, I've seen things, experienced things. We'll get into it probably around Halloween.
And I'm the dark one. Yeah.
But they like me. They accept me. They follow me around. There he is. He doesn't deny us. He doesn't run away. But that's the weirdest, the weirdest thing you could do is acknowledge the ghost, because then they'll stay. But if you don't acknowledge them, they're like, well, let's try this. maybe
it's the same thing with pigeons. You don't feed pigeons and you don't acknowledge ghosts.
Uh-huh. And squirrels. Yeah. Don't feed squirrels.
Right, and squirrels. Exactly.
They're nuts.
They are nuts.
Oh, boy.
Now that you have Archimaniacs out and people can check it out, what is next for you guys?
Oh.
We're doing some stuff for secret things for DC Comics that they didn't announce yet. But I'm working on a series of super pet books. They're just starting to hit the stores. The first four made it out to the stores about a week, maybe a month ago. And I think I'm working on 12 or 15 of them all together. Maybe. I forget. I work on four at a time, so I forget where I'm at now. But I'm drawing all the characters, Aquaman's pets, Flash pets, Batman's pets, Superman's, Supergirl's. So I know there's a backout book coming up, so I can't wait.
I mean, on that note, which member of the DC Universe has the best pet family?
Probably Batman. Yeah. You got Ace, Robin, Batcow. If you put Batcow in anywhere, that's it, the Batcow.
Yeah. He's got a man bat.
Yeah, he does. That's a fun bit that you guys have in this book.
Oh, Manny?
Yeah, Manny. Manny's great.
If you read it, Manny talks like this. Hey, I do. So, when they open the door and Manny goes, hey, close the door. Sorry. It's all right. He even said, that's
all right. Yeah, it's all right. Great line. I love that.
Sorry. We can't ask us to do the audio version of it, you know, an audio book version. But
that would be fun.
And Manny talks real fast. Yeah. You need a costume, don't you? I can make a costume. He talks real fast. You like bats? I like bats. Come on, dress up like a bat. Yeah, he's real cool. I can't even talk as fast as he talks.
Yeah. Franco, anything you want to plug that you got coming up?
We're always working on comic stuff. So you can find that over on Comixology We are working on a couple more super secret DC books. One we're working on together, and one I'm working on without him, because I couldn't stand working with him anymore until the next project.
I feel so, like that
time. dark and dirty.
Yeah, it was too dark. So, I'm really excited. But, they take a while to work on. So I've been working on it for 10 years, but I can't talk about it yet.
That's true. I've been working on a lot of indie stuff with other publishers. Like with Paper Cuts with Gilbert, it's a little merman creature, and Drew and Jot with Boom Studio. So we're spreading our wings, DC Comics and indie stuff and other publishers. So there's so much to be done, so little time.
Yeah,
we thank the universe for the pandemic. It's just time to stay home and draw. You know?
Yeah, honestly, I think the pandemic is the best thing that's happened to all of us.
Yeah, it has.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm the dark one. God. Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. Congratulations on the book. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, great seeing you guys.
Good seeing you again.
Thanks, guys. Great to see you.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait to smell Pete again. Later. Last time we were smelling your hair, because you came up to here on us, and we rested our chin on. I remember that. He's like, you smell good. Yeah, I remember that.
Man, will he still smell good after all this? I guess we'll find out. We all see each other again.
He's like, no.
Have a good night, guys.
You guys are awesome.
Later.
Okay, bye-bye. You too.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I just want to say, like, that's one of the tough things about, not being able to go to cons and stuff. Like, those guys were such a staple at a Comic-Con and Artist Alley. I mean, they're bigger than life. They have these giant, like, cool booths, and they stand out, and they're just so much fun to talk to, and it really comes through in their work, and I'm just so happy that they're doing well.
Major staples of the Pete Street Pete. When we were
for sure
con days.
You got Art Baltazar, you got Franco, you got a roast beef sandwich on the side somewhere, some ribs, all the good stuff.
Yep, a casual fist fight with Rick Remender coming soon to this podcast in January.
Very exciting. Also coming to this podcast is my favorite section. It's your audience questions. And for your audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question and ask a question here on Crowdcast. But actually, before we do, I wanted to start off with something that we got in the old email box. Good. Yeah,
the old email box.
That's what you were checking on, Pete? I forgot to read this last week. So
yeah, I just want to make sure you remember this time.
And that's how you've been. You've fallen on hard times ever since.
I've completely lost it. This is a good letter we got from Melissa over at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. She says, I don't know if you guys will read this, but worth a shot. First off, I love you guys in the show. I love all the content. As a major comic book collector, I can't go a week without the stack. Anyway, I know this is your show, and my opinion really isn't worth anything, especially since you are free to put whatever content you want on your show. But as a longtime listener, I just wanted to let you know I come to your show as an escape from the crap of the world and haven't really loved hearing political talk from the one place I really look to grow my hobby. Anyway, I'm not trying to be a dick, and I definitely won't stop listening. I'm gonna never bash you guys. Just thought I'd give you my thoughts over the last few months. Thanks for the show. So first of all, Melissa, thank you so much for listening. That's awesome. Part of the reason I wanted to bring this up, and we've talked about this, is over the course of the election, we certainly talked about politics, I would say 100% more than usual.
Yeah. It definitely popped up.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I just want to say, like, she brought up something in the beginning that I just want to quickly address. Like, thank you for listening. You know, yes, we are going to do what we want because it's our show and we like having fun. And your opinion does matter. So thank you for sending that in. That's kind of why we read it. You know, we don't want it to seem like your guys' opinions don't matter when you send us thoughts. We appreciate the fact that you're taking time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, you know, it's just one of those things where at the end of, and you know, I'm just speaking for myself, at the end of the day, I got to feel good about what we're doing, how we're doing it, and that kind of thing. So if you're putting something out there, also, we got to try to do some things that we want to do and some things that we want to say. So if that upsets you or if that rubs you the wrong way, you know, that's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to also kind of, you know, be able to sleep at night, I guess is what I'm saying. But go ahead, guys.
I feel like that was just the tension was ratcheting up around politics. And in the same way that listeners maybe come to this podcast as a relief, I think it's a little bit of a release for us as well. Mm-hmm. So I do think that it aired. And I in an absence of doing live comedy shows where I personally would go and be able to be like, this is all, the world is pretty crazy. Coming here is that a little bit. So, I appreciate that comment. And honestly, I don't like talking politics all the time. I just like reading it all the time.
Yeah, I think when it to kind of hit right in the middle of what you guys are talking about, it was impossible not to talk about it the last couple of months. You know, I mean, I think anybody would be derelict in their duty to not discuss it in some way. But at the same time, like Justin is saying, I certainly look at the show and look at comics as a respite. We try to make the show as fun and upbeat as possible. We certainly don't spend a lot of time forgetting about politics, but like, we don't talk about the comic book industry politics that much. That's not the thing that we're into.
Oh man. Can you imagine?
Well, yeah. I mean, we like to lift up the things that we like. We don't like to push down the things that we think are bad. And that's something that we've done for the past 14 years. So that's always been part and parcel of the show. And I think that goes the same thing for real world issues as well, that if they don't come up, we don't necessarily need to bring them up. But at the same time, it's always going to tie into comic books, and the best comic books are going to reflect the time we're in some way. They're going to have something to say about it. So of course we're going to discuss those things then. And I think in the same way that we are trying to make this a space where people can have fun and hopefully laugh, like at this very funny discussion that we're having right now, I also think that we would be derelict in our duty to not bring up themes that are inherent in something and talk about things and what they mean to us. You know,
that's 100% true. And, but we should take this moment to announce Pete's mayoral run for the mayor of Philadelphia. Or sorry, the Philly cheese. You're becoming the mayor of Philly cheese.
Yeah, that's right. That's a big difference.
Mayor McCheese, but for Philly cheese.
Yeah. Didn't you? Sorry, I think you're actually wrong about that. He got invited to a Willy Wonka style thing, but at the Philadelphia cream cheese factory.
Cream cheese.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. Mm, yeah. I love that stuff.
But what are you guys drinking?
Oh, great question. I got tired of fancy cocktails and I haven't had a beer. Well, no, I'm still going to drink them. Don't worry. But I haven't had a beer in weeks, so I just got myself a nice Goose Island IPA. That's it.
All right. Alex is back.
Got the beer. I'm ready to drink beer, go in the woods. That's what men do.
No, the seasonal beer plague is over for the time being.
No, I'm going to get Christmas beers.
No. What's up with the Hanukkah? Where's the Hanukkah beer?
Yeah, happy Hanukkah.
I mean, that's a really good anti-Semitic question.
Is that you're drinking Christmas beer?
What do they
beer?
Taste like? Potatoes? Like latkes, Justin?
Anti-Semitic.
Tastes like candles? Question. What are you saying? Come on.
You're talking about drinking Christmas beer. I'm just asking
you.
No, if
I would love a Hanukkah beer. That would be really nice.
So what does it taste like? Potatoes? Huh? Just sort of potato beer?
I don't know. Maybe it tastes like there's a little apple and sour cream in it. I don't know.
I mean, that would be good. At least I would appreciate that more than like a nutmeg flavor. The Christmas flavor profile, I don't agree with. And that's why I'm curious about the Hanukkah.
Oh, Kevin says is jelly donuts. That actually makes a lot more sense for beer than potatoes and sour cream.
I like sour cream and everything. I'm drinking Sea Quench Ale. A session sour from Dogfish Head, which is probably the closest to one of Alex's little spice rack beers that I would drink.
What about you, Pete? What airline fuel are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a nice little concoction of rum.
Windex and one ice cube.
Yeah, and some vitamin water. It's lovely.
Yeah. Windex and an ice cube is called a My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Wow. Yeah, Pete, I was yelling over you saying what your main alcohol was. Rum?
Yeah, it's rum and some triple X vitamin water. And
triple X, dog. Wow.
Yeah. A little pamplemousse as well.
You know, have you tried triple X State of the Union water? Because that's not as good.
It's a little worse.
Yeah.
Hey, I watched that movie a bunch of times.
Did you? Watch Triple X, The Death of Xander Cage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No further questions.
There is no bottom here. What are you you trying to stump him, Alex?
Yeah, I guess I was. All right, let's go to questions over here on Crowdcast. This one is from Joe and feels like a trap. Were you all upset when Terror Purpura and Venonade defeated Aranco and Lineda Americana at Triple Mania this past Saturday in Marvel's Lucha Libre? I got to say, I think all of us were so upset. We were just bereft.
Yeah. By the way, can anyone tell us what to say right now? Is there a way someone can tell us the right answer to the question?
I think the right thing is just to say so upset. I mean, Ben the Border Collie is also upset. I think we all are. It was just rough. Yeah.
Exactly. Just a hard time for everybody. Thank you. Pete's Punisher Slipper says, in the past, Spider-Man loved Twinkies and Fred Flintstone loved to smoke Winstons. Who would be endorsing modern products and services? Who's vaping? Who's on Match.com? What's Wolverine's beer of choice? Who's helping America deal with erectile dysfunction? Last one, probably Mr. Fantastic, right?
Yeah. Sure. Well, he should, yeah.
I mean, he's like, him,
he's a little loose. He's too flaccid.
Yeah.
He's flaccid at all times.
Mm-hmm. No, I think,
if he takes Viagra, does he go fully rigid?
I think so. There was one member of the Council of Reeds that was like that.
Also, I agree with
the corner of the Council of Reeds.
Viagra Reed.
JMC Hammer points out that Wolverine drinks Labatt's, which is right.
100% correct. Mm-hmm. Labatt heavies, out of the bottle. Doesn't even have to be cold. It can be warm and dusty. Like Labatt's is made to be drunk.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Poison Ivy, Match.com, maybe? I don't know. She makes people fall in love with her sometimes.
I got you.
Yeah, all right.
Who's doing the progressive commercials? Who's the flow?
Who's the flow?
Who's the flow of the Marvel Universe?
Jarvis.
Yeah.
Great. There you go. Good question. Let's move on to Kevin. In the spirit of Archimaniacs, what character in any medium would you like to see a lighter, sillier incarnation of?
I mean, there have been so many, like, you know, Scotty Young has done like a lot of really adorable like Hulk stuff, which I think is great. I would love like a little cute Hulk.
Is the Windex getting to your penis?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Okay.
I had three cheesesteaks before this, so yeah, it's a little
fun. I would love to see tinier Titans. That would be great. Just go like...
Not small enough. Yeah. That's what they said. Make
sperm,
them small.
Egg. Just see what's going on. See what'll happen. Oh, I'm sorry that I explained human reproduction, Pete.
Excuse- yeah. Wait, what'd you call
it? Yeah.
I messed up.
Got nervous at the end there.
I did.
I would like to see a more lighthearted version of I had an answer and now I just forgot. That person is Speedball, who's a fun one. I don't know. I mean, we talk a lot about getting more fun back into Batman, Bruce Wayne. I'd be curious if that take would work in the ever darkening version of the DC universe or the comics universe.
Sure.
Cool.
Great. Thanks for picking it up, Pete. Cool. Good question. Here we go. This is from Ben the Border Collie. Anyone other than me want to see Hickman somehow work X babies into his run?
Oh,
that would
be
awesome.
Okay. X babies, Muppet babies crossover type thing, you know?
Wait, so Pete, you've been very anti X-Men and Hickman's X-Men in particular, but you would still want to see the X babies show up on Krakoa?
Might as well, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, there's so much fucking on that island, there's going to be just a truckload of babies showing up anyway.
A truckload?
Yeah.
Maybe you do need a lesson on human reproduction.
Reproduction.
Reproduction. The X-Babies are, for me, part of the Mojo world, and I that would feel, maybe they have to go rescue them, but they're a weird... Unless the X-Men are visiting them, I think it gets pretty weird when they're hanging out on Earth.
Yeah, it does feel like something just because Nanny is hanging around that you could fit it in somehow, potentially. But yeah, I agree with you. It's something that doesn't really fit in with the more adult nature of X-Men right now, even though they're super fun.
And correct me on if I'm wrong, but they're not – are they mutants? Are they clones? They're not standalone people, not right?
Hmm.
They were created.
That's a good question.
They were
created
for television, I think.
Yeah, though there were times when everybody was de-aged, right? I feel like there's been multiple takes on the X-Babies.
Yeah, I guess I'm talking about the actual X-Babies from that were like it was like a Mojo created TV show to get more ratings.
Josh has a great question here in the comments. Are we delving into what is sentience? Pete, do you want to take this one real quick?
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so a sentence isn't real until you put a period on the end. Otherwise, it's just a thought.
Wow.
It's just hanging there. All right, so you've got to put that period on or some kind of exclamation point to let us know that's a full sentence.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's a full sentence.
Absolutely. Yeah. This from Edward Doherty. DC published a few weird production errors this week, color errors and proof margins. What's the craziest production errors you can recall seeing printed?
I remember a DC, it was a Green Lantern book, where the floating heads with nightgowns had like I guess the colorist wanted to do a joke with the writer because it had like a college logo on it, like a football college thing, and they it snuck it by and it got it to print, and I was like, woohoo, that's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, over on the Marvel end of things, there was a series called Civil War II.
Wow. Alex with a sick burn. Was that the series that made you like fully?
No, ranted? No, no. I actually was fine with Civil War too. Secret Wars. Secret War, the reboot one. That was the one that broke me.
Yeah,
that was a crazy. If you guys want to hear Alex, truly, that we were podcasting that then. Alex really lost it. And honestly, I thought you were going to be done with comics. You sort of swore off comics for a while.
I definitely swore off reading Secret War, and it's been one of those things that. over the year, I've heard from many people that it's actually pretty good once you get past that first issue. And I always waffle between like, man, I really went at it on that show. Should I break my promise and just read it? But so far, not.
Nice.
Wow. You did go hard. I don't have any printing errors, maybe an extra staple.
That's pretty bad.
But I do always look for the background, what the artist is jamming in on graffiti and random stuff like that. I love seeing, when I was younger, especially seeing like a They Might Be Giants reference in the background of a comic, because I was like, it me.
Yeah. This is from Josh. What's a comic book trope that you think is getting stale? Like old man-isms or whatever.
Superheroes.
Conversely, what's an old, tired, broken trope you just love?
A trope that that works every time on me is like a Western trope adventure for a character. Like we've seen it so many times. It's like the standard. The Mandalorian is another example where it's like, oh, I see what they're doing, but it's like, oh, I like this. I still like this.
Yeah, I think Pete's going to hate this one, but I need some Wolverine stories that do not start with Wolverine in a bar just minding his business, and then something goes wrong, and he has to get into a big fight and stab some people.
Then don't read Wolverine, asshole.
There's other places he can go. There's other options. Go to David Buster's or something.
That's where Wolverine is.
Oh, that also has a bar. So same basic thing, I guess. Pete, is there a trope you either like or don't like?
I mean, you know, origin stories can get a little bit old, especially if it's something that's kind of known.
You hate conversations, right?
Yep. Conversations can be rough. It's also like, you know, seeing your superheroes wasting time can drive me nuts a little bit when there's just like, things should be happening, but they're stopping to talk about their feelings, or if they're playing baseball games or some bullshit. Yeah, thank you, Joe. Callery called it before I could even say it.
Yeah. Also, the trope where one character shaves their beard and the other character immediately starts growing a beard. Very weird.
Doesn't make sense.
Weird. Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Like, why? Because
it's not a coincidence. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's like, doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah.
There's an intention here.
I couldn't agree more. Let's a couple more comments here. Actually, I'll read this one from Joe. Related to what Alex said earlier, why is it listeners like myself enjoy hearing podcasters like yourselves talk about things you don't like more than hearing them talk about things you do like?
Oh,
I totally
respect
your decision to not push down the things you don't like, but have you all ever wanted to rant about a book that came out that you want to encourage people to avoid? You know, this is just to kind of sidestep this a little bit for a second, because this is something that came up that I kind of threw out to TV journalists on Twitter this week, because there are a couple of shows that I watched in a row that are coming out pretty soon that are just plain bad, like absolutely just not fun bad to watch. Like, I think everybody was talking about Emily in Paris. That was a terrible show that was fun to hate watch. It was fun to talk about and piss on, and everybody was enjoying that. And I think that is a different thing than some of these shows that I watch that are just poorly made, hard to watch. And I was wondering, if you don't have to write a review of it, if you're not paid to write a review of it, do you say something about it? Do you put it out there? And I found that at least most of the people that responded to that, they said, no, I just let it pass by. There are enough things out there that I don't need to spend my time even mentioning the thing and bringing attention to it. And I think that's the main thing that I feel about comics as well. If it's bad, I don't really want to give it the time of day. Like, I don't think it adds anything to the conversation. And there's certainly enough good things to talk about that I'd personally rather lift those up and elevate them.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think the worst thing you can do now is ignore something, because like a show like Emily in Paris got another season. It was hugely successful because everyone was talking about it. So the way to pan a show is say. And back on the question, like, I the comics that I'm like, oh, I'm so mad about this. Mostly I'm like, oh, this just wasn't very exciting. I feel like I have two speeds. This just wasn't very exciting. And then like, this is great. This was really interesting and unique. And that it's very, very rare for me to be like, I can't believe this happened. I'm so mad.
Well, because most of the time, and we've talked about this on the show before, but with things, when you're talking about a Marvel comic, a DC comic, an Image comic, Dark Horse, etc., same thing as most TV shows, when you're getting to that level, you're at a point where there's some quality in there. There's something that you can pull out that's usually pretty good.
Everyone's trying so hard.
Exactly. Nobody's like, I'm going to put out a bunch of shit. That doesn't happen.
Except for the Snyder Cut, which I think we can all agree on that. Whoa.
Well, but even that, somebody is,
let's you know, not people get are political.
Wow.
People are going to like that. They're going to enjoy that, even though it's going to be a horrible piece of shit. And that's, you know, more power to them. Right, Pete?
But it could be a more 4 hours of a piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like,
Did you hear, though, that Batman says fuck? That's very cool.
The way that was being promoted online this week, I was like, what is this? Who would say that? And who would be like, wow, he finally swears? Because he's sworn in movies before.
Are you 10? Is it like 10-year-olds who have never said a curse before are like, oh man, Batman cursing. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, first off, when we had Kevin Conroy on our show, we were giddy because he swore in the Batman voice, and we thought that was the coolest fucking thing we've ever heard.
Okay,
so.
Pete, I guess we're the problem. Do you think Batman's going to say, you know what, fuck this Snyder Cut movie?
I can't believe that would be pretty cool. I would like that a lot. I guess to answer the question, though, the actual question about it was why people like hearing people shit on things. I mean, I think like there is something that sends a very quick rush of endorphins when you see somebody being beaten down, you know, like it's kind of, not to get too psychological about it, but I think there is something to be said for that fight or flight response, where it's the same thing of you walk out of a bar and you see a couple of dudes in a fight, you're not necessarily going to be like, that's cool, but suddenly your heart's going to get pumping, you're going to get excited about it, you're going to get a little bit of that adrenaline. It's not exactly the same thing with a bad review, but there is that momentary excitement that pumps you up in a way. And I don't know. I think I understand that. I understand people like that. That is not something personally that I am into.
Okay, so just real quick. Yeah. When you walk outside of a bar and you see a fight.
Pioneers.
You don't say, cool? You aren't like, oh, man, cool.
Well, Alex, as you can tell by his stubble, is involved in a fight club.
Yes.
So we can't talk about it.
Yeah. I can't 100% tell if there's another guy here, but I'm pretty confident there is.
Alex is in a fight club. There's no one else there yet, so there are no fights.
Right. We're just making soap at this point. It's just a soap club. It's
very fun. It's a soap club. I wanted to start a fight club. Ended up in a soap club. And now I'm a wealthy Amway representative. I was going to say about I think it's also a sort of, you prove your love, ironically, by hating on things. Like, I can't believe they're doing this to this thing that I love is such a, like, it's a powerful thing because it shows your fan service and it hits that endorphin level that Alex is talking about. For me, though, that's like a fake. If I love something, I want to love it. I don't want to be mad about the thing that I love.
And I think the other part of it for me personally is, like I was saying earlier, even things that you don't like, somebody else maybe likes them. And I do think there's a sense to find a consensus about things. So when you come in, you're like, oh man, I really love Rise of Skywalker. And everybody else in the group is like, that movie is a piece of shit. You immediately feel bad, and then your estimation of it goes down, and you feel like, well, maybe I don't totally 100% like it. Maybe I like 85% like it or 80% like it. And the more times you hear that, the worse you're potentially going to feel about it. I don't think there's anything good about that. I would rather that person like The Rise of Skywalker and enjoy The Rise of Skywalker, even though I personally think it's a bad movie. I don't want to take that away from them.
Plus, I would also like to hear what they liked about it. Because that movie, I'd be like, how could you find something to like about it? And I'd be curious to hear. And if you shut them down, you're never going to hear why they like it. Because they might have a take that's like, oh, wow, I've never thought of it that way. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's like every time I tried to say something nice about Aquaman, you guys just shit on it.
Well, it's a shitty movie, Peter.
That's
feel
stupid
bad.
And you're
Fuck
stupid.
You.
That's your bad fuck part of you. Even liking it and saying it on our show is crazy.
Hey, I'm Batman. Fuck you.
Yeah. Wow. I just got a hit of endorphins when he said fuck.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on for this. Last question we'll have here. This is a big one from Eduardo. I know you probably covered the Disney Plus announcements during the Week in Geek, but I'm wondering if you could share your thoughts about how these developments might affect comics, if at all. This obviously is a very long topic. We probably will talk about whatever we don't get to here on the Week in Geek podcast for Patreon subscribers only. But let's chat about this, because this is the big thing last week. Thursday night, in case you missed it, there was the Disney investor call where they plumped out absolutely everything.
Oh, it was too much. You can't do that to me. It's too much. You can't do all of that at once.
The thing that I kept thinking about is it was like they had this content hose that somebody had their finger on all year long because they couldn't release anything. They couldn't announce anything. And then on that day, they were like, take that finger off, and it just starts spraying everywhere. And that's basically what it went on.
Yes.
It was too much. It was too much for everybody. It was, I guess, what they needed to do. They made a huge splash, but it was impossible to cover from a media perspective. It was too much for fans. It was probably too much for investors who are like, I don't know what this is. I just like money. So it was a lot, but
you're doing a production of a Mickey Mouse as well as an investor.
I invest in this company.
That's when you have that much money, that's how you start to sound.
Yeah. I'm a majority shareholder.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Where should we start with this? I mean, I guess we can start specifically with Eduardo's question, how this might potentially affect comics, if at all. Do you think in any way, any of these announcements, Marvel, Star Wars, Disney, Pixar, they come back to comics, or is it totally unconnected?
Well, I mean, I think things that get popular in TV shows or movies, I mean, look at Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury. You know, that came back and changed how Nick Fury looks in the comics. So I think that, like, if something blows the fuck up and becomes very popular, it can then turn around and affects the comics, even if it's like a Marvel TV show or whatever. So I think, it does can come back around. And what's nice about it is if a good idea can inform other things, just like Batman the Animated Series, kind of, you know, Harley Quinn and all those kind of great stuff that we got out of that.
I mean, the most exciting thing for me is any of the movie and TV shows will have a comic book, some comic book version of it, whether it's a series or a limited series or a reboot of the character. And so that's exciting. Like the fact that we are aware of getting these characters in the comic world a little bit more in focus will be fun.
I do hope this, particularly with the Disney Plus series, like we haven't really seen it with the movies where people go to the movies and they're like, yes, got to go to the comic book shop, read this stuff. That hasn't really necessarily happened, but the Disney Plus series in particular looks so clearly drawn off the comic books. I mean, we've talked about this incessantly, but WandaVision, even though it's a different focus, it's basically Tom King and Mitch Gerard's Vision series. Yeah. Then you go over to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Certainly, there's a lot of stuff from comics there. There's the battle for the... Oh, my God. What is it? Was the battle for the shield? No. What did they actually call that? I'm thinking the battle for the cowl with Batman, which happened at the same time. Skip that one. But like the Loki trailer, the end of it was Vote Loki, the series by Chris Hastings, like straight up same costume, same look and everything. He was clearly bowled over and not expecting that. And then you go over to Hawkeye, which is clearly drawn off of Matt Fraction and David Aja's comics as well. So I don't know. I feel like this sort of thing, particularly because it's Disney Plus, particularly because it's online, they got to do something there where it's like, also read these comics. You know, it never really worked out, but in the ideal form, how DC Universe was supposed to work was it would do that, where it would have a storyline in Titans, and then it would say, hey, read these comics that are tied in. I wish they would figure out some way of doing it at Disney Plus, just because they're so particularly drawn. And beyond that, I really hope those writers are getting some sort of credit other than, hey, this is cool, because they're like straight up right out of the books at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in general, that was a very exciting, to use your very sort of sexual metaphor for it, Alex, it was a great spray of content.
Yeah.
And it was super exciting to like our UK Twitter. And then Cody, I believe, was posting it in our Slack. I was like, oh,
It was just too much content. Like, trying to tweet it, trying to keep track of it and everything was absolutely insane. Should we talk about any of the announcements at all? Pete, do you want to chat through any of this stuff?
Or yeah,
should we save that for Week in Geek?
It's up to you guys if you want to kind of save it or whatever, but it was just, when there's that much stuff, your kind of brain just shuts down and can't kind of keep processing. At least that's what I felt, where it was just too much information.
Well, it's wild that, you know, there were so many announcements and so many fun things for fans of Marvel, fans of Star Wars and everything else, that it got to a point where I think my favorite announcement, the thing that I was most excited about, was during the FX presentation, they announced that Noah Hawley is doing an Alien series set on Earth for FX, which sounds fucking awesome. Yeah. And by the time we got midway through the presentation, I was like, oh, right, that's happening. I totally forgot about that. And by the end of the presentation, I completely forgot about it for several hours because there were so many other things. And that was like my number one thing up there. But there was so much, there was no way of keeping it all in your brain, which is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, it just kind of shuts it all down.
Did you have a favorite announcement, though, out of everything?
I don't even know, all the stuff. I mean, the trailers and stuff look great. I'm excited for more on content, but unless you want to kind of break it down, I couldn't process it all. So,
I mean, one that I'll throw out while we're waiting for Justin to hop back in the stream here that I thought was cool on the comic book end. I'm a little concerned about the show just because of the footage. There wasn't like a lot of footage that they showed off, but the Miss Marvel sizzle reel had Sana Amanat in there. They talked about the comics. They showed off the comics. That was the one thing where they drew this clear line between this is a new character. They are so popular that we are putting them on screen, which is very different than a lot of the other stuff we did, which was cool. Justin, we were just talking about, like, if you had to pick one or two, what your favorite announcement was.
It's so hard to remember them all because it was just like excitement hit. And it's also like, I feel like it led to like a little bit of a stress. Maybe this is what you were talking about, Pete, where it's just like, oh God. But I kept reminding myself, oh, this is over the next like many years. So we have, there will be an initial glut and then it'll be like slow, like back to normal basically.
Well, if you look at the schedule, at least to your point in terms of like glut initially, you got WandaVision coming on January 15th. All the shows are about 6 episodes long. So you got that going. Then you got Falcon and the Winter Soldier coming in March. So there's probably like a 2-week break there. Then you have Loki coming in May, probably after Black Widow, as long as theaters are open. So you probably got like a 2-week break right there. But it seems like the goal is to go with little breaks here and there, essentially Marvel TV shows all year long, which is a lot.
I mean, my faves, I guess, the What If trailer that dropped, I thought was really
cool. Oh, yeah, that was really cool.
Very excited for that. Very excited for She-Hulk. As well as Moon Knight. I think those are going to be good. And those are some of the characters I'm excited to get back into the comic world. I know Moon Knight's been sort of in and out. Same with She-Hulk. Like, to get both of them, that would be great. Some of the ones where I was like, what? Like Armor Wars? I was like, wow. Wild. And also excited for the Ironheart series.
Yeah, that both of those to me feel like, hey, we don't have Robert Downey Jr. anymore. Let's keep this area of the universe open a little bit, which is cool to me. Yeah. I wanted to let's turn over and talk about the Star Wars thing a little bit, because the other thing that not freaked me out, but I kind of freaked out about a little bit was Hayden Christensen coming back for the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. That's wild.
Yeah. Because like, who wants it? Is it just going to be him yelling in the armor? No, still throughout would be fun.
I don't understand how this works continuity wise. Like, if they said this is going to be a rematch between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, so how does that work? Where like they met on Tatooine, they fought, and then both immediately forgot about each other for a while or something like that?
No, I think
and Darth was like, "Who is that blonde-haired boy over there?" And Obi-Wan is like, "Nobody." And he's like, "Okay."
I think it's after they're all dead, they're just ghost fighting. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, how does it even, because not to get too deep into this, but I guess the idea is Obi-Wan would have never known that he became Darth Vader. That's a secret from him. Right?
Is it?
I don't know. That's the only way it makes sense. That's the only way it makes sense.
No, because doesn't he go up to him and they fight and he knows?
Does he say, I'm Darth Vader?
I don't know.
He never saw the armor.
No, he never saw the armor.
But anyway, the idea, maybe it's a game of cat and mouse a little bit with Darth pursuing Obi-Wan, or there's like that. I think is fine. As far as having another fight, that seems crazy to me and actively damaging their content and my brain.
Well, and then to move over to some of the other stuff, there was also the things that tie into Mandalorian. They're doing Mandalorian Season 3. They're also doing an Ahsoka show starring Rosario Dawson. And they're also going to be doing, what is it called, Rangers of the New Republic, which we don't know anything about at this point.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel like... Oh, go ahead. Crossover, please. Star Wars meets hockey. I don't know how they're going to pull that up, but I'm excited for the New York Rangers, you know, get a little extra, you know, eyes on their team.
I was pulling for the Islanders of the New Republic, but I
look at you! He made a sports joke, and it was right!
It's
he
the beard! Really right. Beard is just pulsating with sports.
That beard is an Islanders fan right there. Mm-hmm. Being Long Island fan over here.
I mean, this is a good question for the comments. Pete's Punisher Slipper says, will this series culminate in a crisis event? Like, do you think, is this Jon Favreau essentially building what they did with the MCU, but on Disney Plus with Star Wars? Are they going to all branch off and then come back together, all fight Thrawn or something like that?
I mean, I don't know.
Sign me up. Sign me up. Why not?
I feel like
you're already signed up. You have a Disney Plus subscription.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Jon Favreau's killing it, so whatever he wants to do, I'm good.
I feel like the lesson they've learned is to not do that.
I do love that guy.
No?
Wait, what? Wait, what were you saying? I was making fun of Pete.
I feel like the lesson they've learned is to not do that.
Yeah. I don't know if they've learned that lesson.
Well, I guess they've learned that lesson.
Sure.
That lesson is on the table.
Yes, that's true.
He could teach them that lesson at the end of his sentence.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll talk more about all these announcements, as mentioned, on the Week in Geek podcast. That is it for your audience questions. We're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn over to Pete LePage.
I just want to quickly share a quick story while I have the focus with you guys, if I may.
Is this the time for that, really, Pete?
Is this the time when Edward says no? Edward says no. Sorry about that.
Thanks, Pete. I am drunk. Thanks for noticing. Last night I got to do a show called Art Smackdown, and they said if you could have anything happen in comics, what would you want to have happened? And my mind kind of exploded with a lot of possibilities. And first I was thinking like Cyclops bowing down to Wolverine would be great. But what I settled on was
bowing down.
Having MJ and Spider-Man hold hands as they kicked Mephisto in the nuts. And seeing artists render that image was really just very therapeutic for me. And I just wanted to kind of share that with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. And I think we could all agree that Mephisto's defining characteristic is his dangling scrotum. So that must have been easy to depict.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing that.
Okay. Can we see any of these art pieces, Pete? I want to see these kicked nuts.
Yeah, if you check out the Art Smackdown on Twitch, I don't know how Twitch works, but you can log into Twitch.
No one's doubting that you don't know how Twitch works, but it's funny that you're doing such a nut flex here in front of us.
Oh, callback, nailed it. Oh.
Alex Guy has his soundboard up.
Sorry, I was a little slow on the trigger there.
Yeah.
There.
All right, great. So today's trivia is on
Alex and the Zoo Morning crew just ready to rock it.
Just totally panicked. I was like, oh, shit.
I just need someone to say first hand up or raise a hand or something so we can get a volunteer for the old trivia. How this is going to read, I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, $25 will be yours.
Given how drunk he is, you could trick Pete into almost anything today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could win a lot more. You could get your hands on Pete's glasses, one of his trademark hoodies.
Yep. So yeah, is that a physical one? Is that first hand?
Oh, here Edward,
we go. There it is.
All right, Edward, I'm going to invite you into the stream here, and we will get this thing going.
Yes.
Very exciting. Oh, here we go. Hello, Edward. How are you?
Hello.
Good to see you.
Thanks for joining. I'm going to turn it over to Pete in a second, but you are going to have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Take it away. Pretty good chance. Take it away, Pete.
All right, so I'll read you a question list and all three possible answers. Question number one, what character is getting extreme in this Rob Liefeld reboot? Is it A, Spider-Ham, B, Archie, or is it C, Tom Hanks? So it's either A, Spider-Ham, don't pick it, or B,
I believe Archie. It's A, is the answer A.
And the answer, what you're trying to say, is B. It's a little different because there's a lag. Yeah, and it's tough because you're torturing a dog in the background. Feed or pet that dog, please. Don't torture it. Okay, wow. Question number two.
He's bringing some heat to the trivia round. Heat LePage.
What DC character is getting its own series in March? Is it A, Riddler, B, Joker, or C, Catherine O'Hara? So it's either A, don't pick it, or it's B, if you would like to continue.
So it's B again.
It is right. B again.
Yeah. If you would like to continue. Pattern, Pete.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to switch things up because people have noticed my pattern. All right.
I think just keep the pattern.
Here we go. Question, last one. Who is saying their King in Black one-shot out December 16th goes full Christmas? Is it A, Al Ewing, B, Greg Pak, or C, Bonnie Raitt? So it's either A, and $25 will be yours, or you could be completely wrong.
A.
Yeah, Al Ewing.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Great job. You've won a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. Edward, leave that dog alone.
Great to see those baby blues, Ed.
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
Boys. Bye.
Bye. All right. And what was your secret Robin Williams movie, Pete?
Okay. So it's a TV movie, but it still counts. And it's The Ruddles 2 Can't Buy Me Lunch.
There we
go. Pete, you are out of gas.
Yes.
You know what, Alex? I think we got to put a stop to this. It's over.
Come on. Choose somebody new. Choose somebody new.
No, we're just voting. We're finally putting our two-third vote power block here into effect.
That all said, I'm also voting for new comics that are coming out tomorrow, unless you're DC Comics, in which case they come out today. But what are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
Once in Future, number 14. Also, the mentioned Al Ewing Christmas Hulk book was really delightful.
Yeah, or will be. We don't know.
Yeah. Will be delightful in the future.
Will be delightful. What about you, Justin? What are you looking forward to?
Well, as the real Lock and the only real Lock and Key on the podcast, I guess I have to give it up for Lock and Key number 3 coming out. Pale Battalions number 3 coming out tomorrow. Very excited to check that out. It's so great to have new Lock and Key on the stands. And I want to give another shout out to Black Cat number 1 over at Marvel. I really love the series that Jed McKay was doing for a while, and this it's back with this King in Black tie-in, and hopefully they'll get to continue it beyond.
I'm looking forward to New Mutants number 14. This is the first issue written by Vita Ayala. Big fan of them. Big fan of New Mutants. And it's kicking off The Wild Hunt, which is something that's been teased for a while. So that should be pretty cool. All those titles are going to be reviewed in our Stack podcast that's coming out tomorrow, both in the Comic Book Club feed and also in its own Stack feed. So definitely check it out. And that is it for our show, everybody. Couple of things to plug before we go. Thank you to our guests, Art Baltazar and Franco. Check out All the Maniacs from DC right now. Next week on the show, we're going to have a big one for you. Rich Duak is going to be here to talk about IDW Sea of Sorrow, which is very cool if you haven't checked it out. Also, Philip Kennedy Johnson is going to be here Just announced he's writing Marvel's Alien title. So he's going to talk all about that. Also has a DC announcement that should be out by then. So teasing that up, but that should be a big one as well. So that should be exciting stuff. Also, Chilling Podcast of Sabrina, our Chilling Adventures of Sabrina podcast, is almost back, coming back on December 31st. Umbrella Podcademy, our Umbrella Academy podcast. We're taking a little break while we're getting ahead of stuff, but we will get back to that as well.
Eventually.
Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and other shows we do. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen at Comic Book Live on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, thanks for watching. Good night.
Good night, guys. We'll see you next time.
Let the secret be. Let the vision of the veil. Let that special guest speak. So wrap your ring.